This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And the thing that he did that I encourage every man, every father, yeah, whoever listens to this to do, is to do what our dad did, mm-hmm, and raise it up as high as you can.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to make it the whole time.
He said the last summer he was alive, there was a lot of stuff that my kids got to do with him and your, yep, kids got to do with him. He made a real intentional summer. And I remember, in fact, it was probably the last month, he made a statement to me that said, "I hope my ceiling becomes your floor."
I hate you.
And I thought, good grief. Like, how kind of, and you know, he made the statement years ago that your father is the only person that really truly wants you to be better. He wants you to be better than him.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the world wants you to be better than them.
No.
But a father does. The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest. Mental memory. You're out of mental.
I've been out of mental memory for a long time. You can get us rolling though.
Welcome back. We're here. The Sons of Thunder are back, and it is apparently opposite day or something.
What do you mean,
Joseph? You are wearing a collared shirt that has no crazy design on it.
Yep.
And I am wearing a T-shirt.
I have to wash all of them.
You had to, it's laundry day, so it's, you have to wear your day. One professional looking shirt.
Yeah, I got like two or three of them. I just never want to pull them out. I don't want people to get the wrong idea.
Right. Yeah. It's and you came with notes today.
I did,
and I have none. I have no notes.
On a different note, though, I am still wearing Crocs.
You're still wearing your Crocs. Yeah.
You know, gross. I don't even find them as comfortable anymore, but I have to wear them every time we do a podcast. They're my podcasting shoes.
They're your podcasting shoes. I have a pair of sweats that I edit in whenever I sit at a computer and
edit.
I have editing pants. And here's a funny thing. So whenever I come
editing
out of my room,
sweats.
Editing sweats. So when I come out of the room and I'm wearing them, the girls are always like, "Oh, can't talk to dad. He's going to go edit." That's right. They're my editing pants. Got my editing pants.
I would love for you to come into like a counseling session one time wearing your editing pants. I got a lot of problems.
They're so comfortable, but they are ugly. They are ugly, ugly sweatpants.
That's what everybody says about my shirts. They're the most comfortable shirts ever.
There's no way those are comfortable.
They are.
There's no way.
You're wrong. You're dumb.
Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast. Here we are back with another episode. I don't know if this one has any funny sponsors in it or not.
I don't know. It would be, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see. What do you say, producer? Just wait for that one.
Then the producer comes out and tells us.
He'll do something.
He'll do something. Welcome back. So today we are going to, we're changing it up.
We're going to change it up to today.
Yes. Today's episode is different. This doesn't mean all the episodes going forward are different.
We just got to get this one out of the way.
Each episode has its own flavor, right? And yes, we know that. But this one may be a little bit different tone because this is the season of our life that was difficult to go through. I don't want to say celebrated. We just mourned. We just
experienced.
We just experienced the anniversary of the passing of our father. And so that was just this week.
The week this is being posted.
We just celebrated that. And we are actually filming this after just because we were supposed to do it on the day.
I told my wife, I was like, hey, I think I'm gonna go record the podcast today. And she said, are you an idiot?
Right, yes.
I said, well, yeah, you already know that. But
yeah, it was a little bit difficult. So our dad, just so all of our listeners know, our dad passed away 4 years ago this week. And it's in August. We're at the end of August. It was that day, that week. So he passed away 4 years ago now. And we really wouldn't be doing this podcast, probably.
I was going to say, there's no way. He wouldn't have approved.
He would have shut this down hard.
He would have said, you guys go do that, or he would have made sure it would never have gone out into cyberspace.
Yeah, yeah. He'd have been the troll that was like shutting it down. Here's the 50 theological incorrections you have.
Which, speaking of, I'm going to mention what my father did, what dad did at one point. We'll get to that in a minute, though. It's great. Our dad was like the king of trolls
He was brilliant in all the things. So this episode, we want to just talk some things about dad. That's what we want to do. So you may want to skip this episode. If you knew him, maybe you'll see a little different side.
You'll want to watch
of his
and there's some
his
there's,
parenting.
You'll understand too after listening to this. You'll understand a little bit more of where our humor comes from.
Yes, I think so. We had talked about, you know, what do we do for this episode, and we were going to just do a regular. You know, we thought about going to someplace in scripture and something that maybe dad taught or something, but instead we thought in order to kind of maybe honor our dad a little bit and see if who in the world wants to know this stuff.
You know what I would also love?
Part of therapy, right? This is part of therapy.
It's part of therapy, but if anybody like that listens has a memory too of our dad, share with us. Like, that would be awesome.
Yes. Because
a lot of people did, and I can get to that, but Sons of Thunder podcast, it's a lighthearted, funny, because that's how our dad was. So
yes,
there's a few things. And I'll ask one question I actually don't have on my notes.
Okay.
I'll ask that at the end.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and start. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I'll share with mine. Share mine. And you can kind of, if you want to start it after I ask the question, go ahead. If you want to refer back to me, I've got some.
Joseph has notes today.
I have notes today.
I have no notes.
It came with the collar. Notes came with the collar.
See what happens when you get professional?
Yeah.
This episode's going to be terrible.
I actually use non-Comic Sans font. That's what every font is called if it's not Comic Sans.
Did you get that reel I sent you about the Comic Sans?
I did. It said people who use Comic Sans also drive PT Cruisers. Yes.
All of our PT Cruiser drivers out there that are listening, we know what your font of choice is.
Yeah,
and I love how it says Comic Sans. If you break down the word, comic means funny or comedian, and sans means no, it's not.
Without,
so it's without comedy. So the Comic Sans font is without comedy.
It's completely. But I know of at least one school teacher that loves it, and
one former pastor that loved it.
That was
font.
That was our dad's font. Yeah,
it was his font. Okay. I think he did it though I think he knew what comic and sans meant.
100%.
And so I think he thought everybody that's laughing at this, no.
It's like I am.
It's without comedy. Anyway, so you typed out notes not even in Comic Sans.
No, I know.
This is so anti-Joseph.
I know. I feel really bad now. If you don't mind, I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to print this in Comic Sans.
Okay. So you're going to ask me some questions. We're going to talk about just some stuff about history growing up, our house, our dad.
Yeah. So the thing about our dad is, I mean, basically, he didn't become a senior pastor of a church until we were older, a little bit older.
Yes. We were teenagers.
But dad was in ministry. I mean, I don't recall any time, anything besides being at church.
Right, right.
So, yeah. One of the big things dad always did, missions. Mm-hmm. Dad was a missional pastor.
Yes.
He, like...
on mission all the time, overseas, and, around the country, wherever. He was on mission.
And we always hear, you know, somebody, we would take a team on a mission trip, and somebody from that team typically would fall in love with the people or that place.
Yeah.
Dad never seemed to stick to one place. And we were like, why? He said, because God's pierced my heart for the whole world. And I'm like, brag?
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
That's why I shop from places in China.
I'm not attached to any place we've gone.
Made in China, made in Taiwan, made in Mexico. I'm good with all of it.
My favorite is the things that we got when we were in Israel, in Bethlehem. We got some little like touristy stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. If you go to the Christmas place in Pigeon Forge,
you can buy
the exact same thing. And I was like, this one was purchased in Bethlehem. People were like, okay.
Yeah.
Still
sure.
Made in China.
Sure. Yeah.
China. Okay. So the first question, what is a great, like your favorite mission moment, mission memory with dad?
My favorite mission memory with dad.
Or any mission memory.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Like there's like funny things and then there's like serious things. I would say our mission trip to Haiti in 2010.
Too bad. I already got that one down.
So. Oh, do you have that one? Okay, I'll go to another one. So here's what I remember. We stayed at this mission house, and there was a guy that worked at the mission house.
His name was Joseph.
His name was Joseph, yes.
And shut up. Joseph, I know where this is
going. No. I'm not going to say that. There was some stuff that happened on the mission trip that like we won't talk about.
Yeah.
But
I know one word in Haitian Creole, and he was making fun of me.
Yes.
Jerk.
I remember we had a great driver. We had a driver that was that week that drove us everywhere.
You're going to say he was great?
He was great, man. He was awesome.
I mean, it's the roads then.
The roads were bad. Yeah. He was super great. But I remember one of the funny things dad did. So we were sitting out on the porch one night after we had dinner.
Yes.
And we were out on the porch and there was a balcony on the little mission house and looked over the wall that had all the razor wire and glass on the top of it.
Yeah.
Very secured area, but right outside in the street, there was fighting going on. There's bad stuff happening. This was post earthquake in Haiti in 2010. This was in August of 2010. And we had about 12 of us on that mission trip, I think. It was the first time I'd ever been overseas and seen poverty. First time ever.
Yeah.
And so I just remember it was so heavy all week long, real heavy. We were at this little orphanage that we worked at. We were in the streets. We were just all over the place doing great work. I think the work we did there was awesome. We built bunk beds for an orphanage. I really hope
the producer doesn't share any of those pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Because the pictures, I try to, yeah.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mr. Producer, why don't you share some pictures with
her?
If you're watching on YouTube, there's some pictures maybe that get popped up.
There was
we talked about before. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, maybe on a Wednesday night with students, but there was a pastor there that kind of planted a church alongside this orphanage. He wanted to put a school in for the orphans. Ooh. And there was a mountainside, right? It was on the other side of this creek, and it was a big giant hill, and that hill had to be removed in order for the building to go there, the schoolhouse.
Right.
And I remember we showed up and we had some shovels, we had some wheelbarrows, and we moved.
They just magically showed up.
They just magically showed up. And we dug out the side of that mountain, and now it's a school sitting there, you know, years
later.
Have you
seen the pictures?
Yes.
It's insane.
It's insane. It's beautiful. It's incredible. And, you know, we were a part of that. We were in the beginning stages of all that. And what we talked about was that pastor had said, you know, I have faith that that mountain will move. And now how did the mountain move? Well, a bunch of rednecks, idiots from Loudoun County show up with shovels, and we moved a mountain. And just a little bit of time. But I remember it was after that night specifically, we had worked all day. It was hot. It was terrible. We go back to the mission house.
It never was not hot.
It was, even at night, we had to sleep with mosquito nets.
Yes.
I remember, it was so bad.
And I was on the top bunk of this one mission house, and like the ceiling was like right here. So I'm sitting there like,
it's hard to breathe. And there's a net all the way around you.
Yeah.
In order to get a shower, you had to go draw the water from the well. Like it was the whole thing. It was awesome.
And dump the lukewarm water over your body. And
like, try not to let it in your mouth.
Sweat?
Yeah. I remember though, we were sitting on the little balcony porch one night, and we had eaten chicken for dinner.
We met that chicken earlier that morning.
Here's what Dad had said. He said, man, isn't today just awesome? And I remember sitting there with him. I was like, yeah, you and I think your wife was on that trip too.
Yeah, Tara was there.
I don't think y'all had walked out there. It was just the two of us. And then you all came out a little bit later. Or no, the girls had gone out somewhere.
Okay.
And you had, where did they go? Oh my gosh. I cannot even remember. Anyway, I remember Dad making this statement to me. He said, so how would you journal today? I was like, yeah. He's like, what all did you put in the journal? I was like, just this. We talked about the day, reminisced about moving the mountain and the pastor and all these pieces that kind of came apart. And he said, did you write about the chicken? And I said, what? No. And he said, did you write about the chicken? I said, no. Why? He said, well, the chicken for dinner. I was like, no. He said, do you remember that chicken this morning that
was running through the kitchen?
I said, yeah. He said, you ate him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? He said, what in the size of KFC chicken legs were they? And I was like, no. And he said, you ate that chicken today. I thought,
yeah.
What does this even mean? Here I was trying to share all these spiritual things. And he's like, write that down. And I don't know why that moment sticks out, other than the fact that, like, we just don't, you know, I had this skewed view of an understanding. Outside of America, the world lives different. Like, you know, yeah, and not everywhere in the world, but a lot of places. And
they all had cell phones, though.
I remember thinking that night, I went back and I wrote it in my journal that night. I was like, I ate a chicken that I saw earlier that day. And
I looked into its eyes.
It stared into my soul, and it was like, are you, please don't, please don't, you know. And I just remember thinking, like, Dad didn't... A lot of pastors have a tendency to over-spiritualize everything. And Dad was like, this is reality. This is just real. That was a great mission moment. And I remember one in the airport, he always, and I'm sure you want to say this, every mission team he took, anywhere where you were on a plane, he made sure everybody tagged their bags. With a certain type of tag.
I wasn't even going to mention this, but it also has to do with an article of clothing that he always wore.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Every time he would go on a mission trip, he wore a Tennessee hat.
Orange Tennessee hat with a white
tee on it. And he would make everybody tag their bags with orange duct tape.
I still have some of that orange duct tape.
Yes. And it was because whenever stuff would come off a conveyor belt, orange tag, you could see it. And because the teams would be so large that everybody, he said, if you see a tag, if you grab see it. An orange tag, grab it. Nobody uses orange duct tape. We're the ones that use it. And like the way he had it done. But I just remember in the airports, he would have me and you sitting at the conveyor, at the belts, right, where all the luggage was coming down. And everybody else is like standing off to the side. And he's like, the boys will get it. And so we were like hunting orange duct tape.
We're over there looking at our phone like, wait, what? Like, go grab it.
Go grab it and throw them over here. And so we ended up being luggage boys. Those are two pretty core missions memories that I've got.
I always think, too, when we were in Israel, we got to go to Israel with our dad, which, again, that's a whole nother podcast episode in and of itself, sharing some of that.
I saw the notes when I preached about that trip. And
I was going to ask. I think we need to do the 7777 at one point.
Yeah.
I remember you texted me that about that sermon that you preached, and I was like, I hate your guts.
It was amazing.
It was amazing, and Yeah.
We'll talk about that soon.
We'll talk about it later. So, obviously, I put big orange hat. That's what one of my notes.
Yep.
Haiti, just in general.
Yep.
Haiti meant so much more to me in a different way, because that's where, again, my wife was able to come on that trip, and that's where we felt that call for adoption.
Yeah.
And now that...
I remember you tried to adopt one of the girls in the...
We did.
One of the little kids in the orphanage and couldn't get it to work through or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The government was like, no. And I mean, even when we went to adopt our current youngest child, even the adoption agency was like, wow, you are really, really poor. And I was like, why would you... Why do you have to say that? This is inappropriate. Yeah. So, but they wouldn't do it because we hadn't been married long enough, and you know all this stuff. I was like, but I saw what this little girl. Regard, who cares?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, we actually were able to sponsor. I don't know if I ever told you this. We were actually able to sponsor that same little girl because we found the connection. We were able to sponsor her for a season. Kind of lost track of some of it, but yeah, it was crazy. We felt that call to adopt while we were in Haiti on that mission trip, and that was amazing.
Yeah. We need to look her up. Maybe she's listening to the podcast.
Yeah. I still consider her my daughter, even though she's not a part of my actual
she
family.
She doesn't know who you are at all.
She has no idea who I am. Yeah. It's like I have pictures of you in my house. Straight up creep. Oh.
Oh, man.
See, now that's one of the things. If a man says it, straight to jail. If a woman says it, oh, that's adorable.
That's so sweet.
I look like a creep.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways. Another thing, you weren't on this mission trip. I think you were living in Nashville area at this time. Mm-hmm. I got to go on one trip with our dad to Ohio. They were building a church.
Okay.
And
I thought you were gonna say your trip to Greece with dad.
No, Greece.
Because I was gone during that part too.
I didn't want to have to share when dad got to preach on Mars Hill where Paul did, and I get to sit there and listen to him.
Yeah.
I was set in chewing gum, and I remember going, this may have been the just same like gum. Paul. That Paul was chewing. He was like, he was just headbutting demon-possessed kids.
Oh, last week's episode. Go check it out.
Yeah, go check out last week's episode. Yeah.
So you're in Ohio.
We're in Ohio at a church. And I remember, Dad just knew there was something wrong with me. He just always knew.
Yeah.
I think he took some blame.
Sure.
Part him.
Yeah.
So he said, hey... And our dad was great at construction. Yeah. His dad was a construction worker, like all this stuff. Our dad knew how to do this, drywall, paint, all that stuff. So we were on the outside of the church, and I was holding up this piece of plywood, and he's on the other end of me, and he's sitting there just like, he's nailing something, screwing something on the wall, and I'm just sitting there just, you know, everything in my head's a cartoon, so I'm just rocking back and forth. Well, there was a slight breeze that came through. So as I did this, it caught it and kept pushing. Well, just FYI, it's a 4 foot wide board.
Yeah, 4x8 or whatever. So
Dad was 3 feet in front of me.
Oh, gosh.
So what a normal person would do, knowing, oh, this is out of my hand, you would start to go down and go and let it go. Not me. Started to go down. I remember like it was just yesterday. It caught the top part of his calf muscle.
Oh, gosh.
And I went over the top of it. It buckled Dad's knees. He fell backwards. And then he looked at me. You know that look of like when you get hurt and you're just mad?
Yeah.
He looked at me and just went, you need to go get a drink of water. And I was like,
walk away, son. Walk away.
Pretty much. I was like, sir, yes, sir. I was like, I got to get out of here real quick.
I can just picture you falling over the top of it.
He was in slow motion too. I was like, no. Yeah. I was like,
and it's going to hit him. It's going to hit him.
As I was going down, I was like, I can stop this one. I don't know how I thought I could just elevate back upwards.
Oh, like the Michael Jackson video where he's, you know, he's like able to go down and then back up again.
I think that may have crossed my mind. I was like, I can.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson can't be.
I've got a good core strength. Not.
I did not. I found out
walk
really
away,
quick.
Son.
I did
walk
not.
Away.
Walk away.
Oh, so, man. Mission trips.
I was going to mention hanging drywall with Dad because you and Dad were close to the same height. You were a little taller than Dad.
Yeah.
And I like, Dad always said I was adopted because I was a lot taller. And I was like, that's inappropriate. And I just remember one mission trip that we all went on and we were in one little room. It was just the three of us. And he was like, hey, son, hold this up. And you and him were doing it. And he said, Anthony, grab the drill. And I'm sitting there just literally holding sheetrock over my head going, and he said, hey, I remember he was joking with you. He's like, should we go take a break?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this. He's like, well.
He's like, remember that time the plywood fell on me?
joke's on you.
And then, like, he would also, as you're, if you were working with him with a drill, he'd come up behind you while you were doing something and, like, run it up your leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, he's like, get busy.
Yeah.
What are you doing to me?
He was always playing pranks on stuff like that. Always.
Oh, yeah. And we can't even share some of the pranks that he did to other people.
Yeah.
That were epic.
Yeah.
But because
oh, man,
we'll keep going. So that mission was in missions.
Trips. Yeah, yeah.
Now we've both served in ministry. You've served obviously in more like full time vocational deals before. So
yeah,
ministry moments. So we've had mission moments. Mm-hmm. What about ministry moments? You got any?
Ooh, man, I will say. So I served with Dad for 7 years.
That was stupid.
I was his. Yeah. So I had lived in Nashville. And I remember it was July 4th. I came home to like celebrate July 4th. And I was working in Nashville, living in Nashville, thinking I was going to just like, you know, my life was going to expound from there and just kind of explode from there. And I remember on a 4th of July thing, he said, hey, we were at home and we were all celebrating. And he said to me, hey, I think the Lord's calling you to come be the youth pastor at my church. And I said, well, okay, that's nice. Appreciate it, but I'm good in Nashville.
No.
Everything's fine, yeah. You think the Lord said that to you? I didn't hear it. And he's like, well, I just want you to know, it's not just me saying it. He said, in fact, I've shot your name down every time that it gets brought up.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Like that, they know who you are. This team has been searching for a guy, and
this seems like a recurring theme with your
name.
And
they want, yeah, he's like, they want you. I was like, well, you know,
no!
nice, yeah. I was working in Nashville at a golf course, and I was working at a couple churches and like helping some youth ministry, a college ministry, different roles. And so I remember asking my mentor in Nashville, I was like, hey, this is kind of weird. My dad, who I respect a lot, said that he felt like I was supposed to be his youth pastor. What do you think about that? And the guy said, do you like your dad? I was like, yeah, I mean, I do. And he said, do you have a good relationship? I said, yeah. He said, do you respect his leadership? I was like, yeah, I do. And he's like, then you should leave and go. And I was like, are you like firing me from this role that I'm in here? And he's like, no. He said, but I'm telling
Maybe.
You, like, he said, yeah, you kind of stink. It could be your dad's problem. But he said that something about along the lines of like in ministry, what you'll learn is if you're not around people you trust, it's going to be, there's multiple layers of difficulty and complexities that you don't know really what they're saying, don't know what they're doing. And so I remember calling Dad back a couple of weeks later. I was like, hey, I think you're right. You know, what does that look like? And he said, oh, we can't pay you. I was like, oh, okay. So all the money I'm making, everything I'm doing right now, I'm supplying my own life. And you're telling me to move back to this hometown and not get paid. He's like, we'll get you there. And I thought,
when Dad said that,
all right, in that case, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
And so it was a good 6-8 months later before they got it there, but it did, you know, end up being taken care of. But I remember working alongside him was so great because I knew his move before he made it. He knew my move before I made it. We were in sync in about everything. And he also challenged so hard.
Yes.
That whenever he would say, you know, what are you going to do for students? And I'm like, well, I think I'm going to, you know, once every month, I'm going to go to the school and have lunch. He said, so once a week, you're going to go to the school and have lunch. So I was like, well, that may be a little overkill. And he's like, so twice a week? I was like, okay, we'll do once a week. But like pushed me to the point where I will say this in ministry. Here's what, if I could take one takeaway. And whenever I was at other churches, after I left the church he was at, and which is actually the church I'm at now, when I left that church, I went to these bigger churches. Yeah, the Lord's got a sense of humor.
It's hilarious.
But whenever I left the church and I went to serve at other churches, Dad was my phone call, right?
Yep.
Every day I would be on the way home from work, or every day I'd be going to school or whatever it was, going to church, dropping the kids off or whatever, early, late. You could call him anytime.
Any
time. He was awake all the time.
Buddy the Elf.
And I remember talking to him. He was my sounding board. He was the person that, you know, could help me navigate through situations I trusted. And I will say, he probably is the reason that I didn't succeed anywhere else. Because the one thing in ministry that Dad taught me was, your God's too small in the way that you think.
Ooh.
And he constantly would say, are you saying God can't do it? I'm like, no, I'm not saying that, but this is our limitations. He's like, so you're saying God's limited? I'm like, no, I'm just saying.
I can't wait to share the one phrase. Okay, go ahead.
So here's the one example I'll give
Stay
you.
Stay tuned till the end.
Stay till the end, yeah. Don't leave us yet. Here's what I'll say. So I went to this church, and they were doing Operation Christmas Child, okay? And we love Operation Christmas Child. I love OCC, one of my favorite ministries of all time. And I remember we got there, and the church had done like a couple hundred boxes, right? And it was a big church. And I remember meeting with the kids' pastor, and he and I sitting there talking together, and he said, I think we're going to stretch it this year, and we're going to do 500 boxes. And I said, all right, I'll put us down for 1,000. yeah. I said, I'll put us down for 1,000. And you would have thought, the whole staff got involved, and they were like, you can't do this. This is too much. It's too big. And I remember in that staff meeting saying, are you saying God is limited? And their response back to me was, no, but our resources are. And I said, so we need to pray that the God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, needs to, you know, give us, he owns all the gold mines.
Every one of them.
All of them. The ones we know, the ones we don't know.
He made them.
He made them out of his extra. Right? Yeah. He's like, oh, let's make them.
This is cool.
And I remember fighting through that season at a church. And honestly, I felt like a crazy person by the time it was over with, because I was like, God could do it. We'll go 2,000. Don't push me, right? We'll do it. We ended up bringing up like 1,200 boxes that year. And then they've grown to 2,000 and more. And it was like that. But the staff did not like the fact that I pushed everything, because whenever I was working with Dad, he pushed everything.
The church is under challenged.
They're not under committed. They'll commit to anything.
They will.
They will, but they do not get challenged hard enough.
Yeah, you gotta issue that challenge.
Yes.
And I mean, how many times did we watch Dad issue a challenge?
And it was met.
The thing is, because he led by example. Like,
yes.
I mean, we saw, I shared in our small group, I said, we saw after Dad passed, we were going through some of his financial records to try to get everything straight away, and we saw how much he gave to the church, and we're like, that has got to be a typo. That comma is in the wrong spot.
The decimals are the wrong spot for sure.
This is not. There's no way he did this.
Yeah, I will say this. The one on that note, there was a he was always a big Lottie Moon giver, right? He loved giving Lottie Moon. Church give a lot of money to Lottie Moon. I remember he was at a pastor's conference thing with me one time, and this pastor said, "I'm going to do what you do, and I'm going to ask my church to double their amount to giving to Lottie Moon." And I remember Dad looked him straight in the eye and said, are you going to give double what you gave last year? And the guy said, no. He said, well, no, it's for other people. He's like, if you don't do it, don't expect anybody else to. And then he just walked away. I was like, that's a mic drop moment. I'm looking around thinking like, you know that meme? It's like emotional damage. It's like, oh my gosh.
And that's the thing. Dad never told anybody he was doing that.
No.
You just knew it.
Yes. You could tell.
We didn't know how much Dad gave
to
the church. We had no idea.
Until after he died, and I was looking back through the records, and I thought, okay, so he gave 51% because I remember him telling me he gave, you know, one year he gave a bunch of money, you know, and he's looking at the percentage, and he's like,
and he wasn't even getting paid an astronomical amount of money.
No.
He was refusing. The church tried to pay him more and more and more.
Yes.
And he said, no.
He said, no, I'm good with what I've got. And he, I remember the year he was talking to me, and I'd said something about giving, and I had challenged my students at a church I was at that if they were to give $1,000 to whatever mission thing we were doing, I said I would match it. And I didn't have $1,000 to give,
right?
But I was like, I've seen my dad do stuff like this. I'm going to do it. And sure enough, like they gave a lot. I matched it, and it was like how the Lord did it. I still don't know to this day how he made it all happen. But I remember Dad saying to me one time, he said he was brokenhearted over his the Lord, his relationship with the Lord. And I said, what is it? And he said, I kept the majority of what God gave me this past year.
No, oh, God.
And I was like, what? Like, what? Are you crazy? And he's like, I need to give 51% because I want to give him back the majority.
And people won't even give 10%. Like that Matthew West song, I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, you making $40 a week? Because
yeah.
That's the only way that, because, man, that's.
But anyway, those are some ministry things, I think, for he was just very challenging in ministry.
100%. And he was also so, like, I don't know, I don't want to say accepting in the fact, like, he knew if God laid something on your heart, he allowed, because with me, I've never felt the call to be a senior pastor of a church. I've never felt that.
Me neither.
That desire. Nobody from the church is watching this.
Yeah, yeah. People from the church don't watch this.
But I know that, like, I've had
I'm joking, by the way. I'm joking. Church, if they're anybody from the church, I'm joking.
LOL.
I felt a very, very clear call.
JK. not what he said.
There'll be a business meeting later. Be like, yeah, wait, why is there a deacon's meeting going on?
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. So, but one of the things is, like, Dad always, he always told me, even when I was younger, he's like, you're going to be a teacher. You're going to be a teacher. He said, I can see you being a college professor. You got to go to college. So that probably won't happen.
Yeah. Not so smart.
Yeah. Got him. but he always, like, he'd always push me and challenge me to be a Sunday school teacher, a small group leader, things like that. And a couple of things that really, really stood out to me as a young man trying to find my voice and, like, understand this is... at one time let me lead the sunrise service on Easter, and Dad held that to a high standard. Yeah. Like,
people showed up to that don't come to church.
Yes. And he was like, I remember he called. He said, "Son, I want you to do it." And I was like, "This is Joseph. Did you mean to call Anthony?" He's like, "No." And he said, you know, kind of chuckle. He's like, "I want you to do it." I was like, "Okay." And I remember doing it. And afterwards, I was like, "Man, I felt, you know, you get in your head, you're like, I bombed it. I completely bombed that." And he said, "Man, you said something I've never heard before." And I was like, "Oh, no."
Yeah. Is it heretical?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. He's like, no. And I remember the thing that I said, and again, it was the Lord, but I was reading through and I said, what's amazing is, Easter, specifically in Easter, we're talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, and it's in, you know, you're going through this, and it's in order and all this stuff, and you're going, but the next page, everything that Jesus said is in red, and I said, it says the crucifixion and death of Jesus. The next page, there's red letters. I said, dead men don't speak. I said, so it talks about this, and he was like, man, I got cold chills. I'm like, to hear my dad say that, I was all right. Then one of the other moments was during COVID, we all went online, all this.
Yeah,
and you know, our dad was not tech savvy.
He was technically challenged a little bit. Yeah,
that's like, yeah, he did not understand any of it. So he always had, it was easy for him to have me fill in for the whole church Sunday school class. So Pastor Gary at the time would do some, Dad would do some. He said, but we want to hear another voice. Let's get, do you mind doing it? I was like, I'd love to do it. This is awesome.
Yeah.
He said, come over to the house during COVID. Everybody shut down, but I can come over there. So he's like, Joseph, come on over here. You can go in my office. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is like, wow, this is the, like, my hero asking me to do this.
Yeah.
And Dad's, I remember he got a new camera. And I think you have it.
I still have the camera. Indier. Yeah, it's up there on the shelf. Yeah.
So this camera, when he first got it, instead of testing it out, he decided, I'm going to test it while Joseph's teaching. Yeah. So I'm watching myself as I'm teaching.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, and the camera zooms into right here. And I'm like, oh, whoa.
It can be controlled by a phone. And he was over there controlling
the
it by phone.
He didn't even know he was doing it. And then I hear him in the living room. He's going, he's like, and our mother was watching. She said, you're zooming in and out. He goes, oh, no.
He thought it was just on what he could see.
You can go back in the records and watch the video where I'm teaching. And I start laughing uncontrollably. Dad walks behind me. He's like, sorry, technical errors. He's just like touching. I'm like, would you stop touching stuff? But my favorite part about that is there was one of them that I got to teach that I remember looking back. I was like, man, I wonder if this was bad. So I look back and you can see like the little emoticons or whatever, like people.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com.
That's TheRealReal.com.
Like or reactions on Facebook.
Yeah.
They were liking it and stuff. And I saw one, it was an angry face. And I'm like, oh, snap, I ticked somebody off. Like, yeah. I don't know what comes out of my mouth. I just say stuff. So I remember looking, it said Mark Caldwell. And I was like, and I remember going in there. I was like, Dad, why'd you do that? He goes, trying to keep you humble, son. I'm like, what? Oh man. That's good. So that, but my absolute all-time favorite ministry moment, and this is where we you just talked about some pastors over spiritualize things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember I was teaching the student ministry here at the church because the youth pastor at the time was on vacation or something. And Dad was teaching the older people in the room on the other side of the building.
Yeah.
And he said, Joseph, I want you to come do this. I was like, awesome, let's go. So I went in there and there was this, and I know you know where this is going.
I do know where this is going.
Because the problem is this isn't just a one-time occurrence. I've had this happen numerous times now.
I'm gonna get this checked out.
I'm not genuinely trying to make this happen. So there was one in particular. He called me. I remember him telling me, he said, there's somebody in here. There's a kid in here that we know is not a believer.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I'm gonna bring it. I was like, I already felt like, you know, I know what God had the word he wanted to speak. Because let's do this. Yeah. I got up there, man, he's front row, dead center. And I was like, this is going down. I was like, tonight.
He's getting saved tonight.
Yeah, I was like, man, and I'm like, we start hammering, and it's like a serious moment. You know me, I'm never serious.
Yeah.
When it comes to scripture, most of the time, like if I'm teaching, like there's some serious stuff in there. So I start going, I'm really diving in, getting into it.
Yeah.
And I remember his girlfriend sitting next to him. His girlfriend starts smiling and chuckling, and I was like, hey.
The enemy's on it.
Yeah. Let's, you know, your boyfriend doesn't believe in Jesus. Let's not do this.
Yeah.
And I said, hey guys, what is so funny? And this boy, first off, he didn't say a word. He just goes. And I looked at her then, and I was like, she was the one that started kind of chuckling. I was like, what is so funny? And she said, your fly's down. And I'm standing like this. And I remember I just went.
You turn around, right?
I turn around, and I think we had a microphone because everyone in the room, it got deathly quiet, and you hear, and I turn back around, everybody's dying laughing. I was like, well, there's no, how do you come back from
that? No redeeming this.
How do you come back from that? It's like, let me try to finish this. And I remember afterwards, I was terrified to tell Dad. I was like, he's gonna try to get me arrested for having my fly down when I'm trying to teach teenagers.
Yeah.
And I remember I said, Dad, I got something to tell you. And I mean, I was genuinely nervous.
Yeah.
I got something to tell you. He's like, what is it? I said, when I was teaching tonight, come to find out, you know, my zipper was down. And there was dead silence. And I was like, he's about to just rip me a new one.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't handle this. And then I heard the hardest laugh I've ever heard our dad laugh. And I was like, what? He goes, oh my goodness, it happens to the best of us. And I was like, what? He said, son, rule number one in ministry.
Rule number one above every other rule.
Rule number one, make sure your heart's right. Rule number two, make sure you have something to stand behind.
That's why all the podiums at the church were those big wooden, like,
every
like
one of them.
Flat head.
And he said, if you're ever behind me, he said, I promise you, every single time you can watch, I check. Because he said, that's the most awkward moment. He said, and I was like, okay. So that was my ministry moment that's always stuck in my head. Hearing Dad's laughter during that. Like, I was like,
yeah.
And it was after this when he let me teach Sunday school. Let me do all this. I was like, man. Like there is a redeeming quality, but
okay. I will say there's one more statement to that. You made a statement that like Dad said something you said was like affected him. Right?
Yeah,
he'd never seen it before. Man.
Yeah,
that's one of the most amazing moments, right?
Yes.
So that happened to me one time. He came. I preached at a church, and he couldn't come because it was like a Sunday night, and it was I was a youth pastor. He was doing a Sunday night church, but he watched it online later, you know, because it was all live stream. Right. He watched it online, and it was the story of the woman at the well. And I remember I made a statement that so Jesus met this woman at the well. The disciples were in town going grocery shopping, right? They come back. The woman meets Jesus. She goes into town, and her testimony, the scripture says, with her testimony, a number of people believed. They said they came, met Jesus, right? They believed in Jesus because they met Jesus. They heard her testimony, blah, 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 blah. And I made the statement. I said, do you realize the disciples were in that town? and no one believed because of the disciples' testimony.
Ooh.
I said, so we're so caught up with the day-to-day stuff, we forget that we know Jesus, right? So I remember saying that in the sermon, and Dad said he watched it, and he texted me. He's like, hey, great sermon tonight. I got a chance to watch it after we got done. It was awesome. It was great. That's all he said to me. Well, then 2 weeks later, I watch his sermon, and he quotes the same thing.
Ooh.
And I thought, so I call him that Sunday afternoon, and I said, hey, I said, you gonna give me any credit for that? He said, well, the Lord gave it to you, number one. He said, and number two, he said, I didn't want you to get a big head. He said, because that rocked the way I live. He said, next time I went to the grocery store, he said, I made sure and shared Jesus. And I thought, there's no way our dad, the hero of the faith,
yeah,
heard what I said. And you know what I mean? And which again shows me that, like, I guess it just kind of showed a level of faithfulness. It was like, okay, so the Lord is using me. This is great. Yeah. You know, like if it can affect him,
that's
it can
what it got
anybody.
Me. I was like, yeah. Oh my goodness. It was almost that solidifying factor. And I know that's not what it's about, but
right.
You have that moment in your life, and you're like, oh my goodness, my hero in the faith just said he learned something that came out of my, which makes me realize, like, it ain't nothing coming out of my mouth. Right, it's something that the Lord is revealing.
Yeah. He told me one time, I did a spiritual gift thing. I said, Dad, I said, I think I've got this spiritual gift of wisdom and discernment. I said, and it's kind of weird because I feel like if I say I have the spiritual gift of wisdom, people are going to say, oh, of course you do. You got to be wise. And Dad made the same
thing. All smudge.
Yeah, all smudge. Yeah, you're all this. And I'll never forget. I was nervous to tell people. If people ask me what my spiritual gift was, I would usually say teaching.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, okay, he teaches all the time. That makes sense. But what God's put in me is wisdom and discernment. And I remember, I'll never forget, I told Dad one time, I said, I'm nervous to tell people that because it's like, it sounds like it's an ego thing. He said, oh, no, son. He said, it's the exact opposite. I said, what? He said, if you're saying something wise, it has nothing to do with you. He's like, you can't come up with wisdom on your own. And I was like,
you're
what?
An idiot.
And he said, God gives wisdom to the dumbest. That way he gets all the glory. And so then I was like, oh, awesome. And then I thought, wait, what did he say?
Look at me, old wise.
What did he say to me? Hang on. He just said I was really dumb unless the Lord's speaking.
Thanks.
So yeah. Anyway, what else you got? appreciate it, Dad. Make me feel like a...
We can wrap up a couple more of these because I really want to get to that last one.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go.
Listen, who cares how long the episode is?
That's true. Sermon.
Sermon.
One sermon. I'm not talking.
One sermon.
One sermon that you heard. I'll let me start this one. I want to start this
one. Okay, yeah, because I've got one that you may have.
It's probably the one that I'm going to share. The funniest part about this, I wasn't here when he preached it. That's the craziest thing. Because I heard what happened, and it was like, I heard the audio, and I was like, there's no way he did that. They're like, he absolutely did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Shamgar.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Because here's the thing. That's probably what spurred the most of this podcast.
Yeah.
Because
you're
listening to like the crazy random things that nobody ever talks about. Who ever talked about Shamgar?
Right, right.
And I remember the whole point, start where you are, use what you got, do the best you can.
Yep.
And he's like, Shamgar was just, he had an ox goad. He had a stick, a pointy stick.
He was an ox goad farmer. That's
and
all
he killed 600 Philistines.
Yep.
He killed 600 of them with a pointy stick.
And he started where he was. He used what he had. He didn't go, become a swordsman. He didn't go become a, bowsman or whatever, longbowman, whatever. He just used
arrow
what
shooterer.
He had. Arrow shooterer.
He's a great arrow shooterer.
He's really good.
But that's the thing. Like, I see that and I'm like,
simple truth. It was very clear.
Very clear to the point. And I was like, man, God really, that's what really got my attention, that it doesn't matter if you're in the workforce and God's called you to the workforce.
Yeah.
He can use you in the kingdom of God, like only you can do.
Yeah.
And
that,
awesome.
Yeah. That sermon was a game changer because everybody can start exactly where you are.
Yeah.
If we thought with this podcast, we thought we need to start with a full blown studio, full blown audio, full blown this,
we're still borrowing this.
We're still borrowing every bit of it. Yes. And cause we just started where we were. I remember when I first started podcasting years ago with my New Mercies podcast, I ran for a couple of years.
Go back and listen to that. It doesn't sound like the same Anthony.
It doesn't sound like the same Anthony at all.
Because I'm not there.
Because you're not there. And I remember, I had my phone, right? And I would like talk into my phone. I would record it and I would launch it. And it was terrible, but
actually
had to start somewhere.
I am on the New Mercies podcast.
You
for
are.
For a short season.
For about 20 episodes or so. You
was
were
it really
interviewing.
That many?
There was 22, I think.
I interviewed some people.
You interviewed
and
some
I'll tell
people.
You, there were some people. Some of them didn't make it. There was some. I was like, I remember I started the conversation. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, we did a little trade show thing at a conference, the Big Orange Conference years ago.
That was
it was weird. Yeah, I will say, so the sermon that probably stands out to me the most is probably when I was a teenager, Dad did a revival service for a student ministry.
I know where this one's going.
And we made t-shirts afterwards, me and my two other friends.
That's all you've ever had.
Dad made a statement. Yeah, yeah, lost one of those now.
I guarantee you what you're about to say was my senior year of high school's quote.
Yes. So it was a... stop giving in to peer pressure and be the peer pressure.
Yep, that's it.
That was it. It was and honestly, like he was talking to these students, he's like, "All I hear, all you students talk about is, I'm so peer pressure." And he was so frustrated with it. It was like he looked me straight in the eye that night, and it was at a different church. I don't know why I showed up. Me and my two buddies.
I was there, but I was like in the back because I remember him saying it. I figured I was like, why is he looking at Nathan?
Yeah, it looked right. And he's like, stop complaining about the peer pressure and just go be the peer pressure. And it was, every one of us were like, oh my gosh.
What?
So we made t-shirts. I am the peer pressure. And yes. Walked to school. White t-shirts, black Sharpie. I am the peer pressure.
Yep.
We walked in and I can't tell you how many people were like, what is that supposed to mean? I'm like, it means Jesus is awesome and you're not. So get with it. It's like, don't do drugs. And like, nobody's doing drugs in my high school.
He also had one in that revival. I remember because Dad was hilarious, but he could also drive home a point in that humor.
Yeah.
And I remember he's like, if you have somebody walking up to you asking you if you want to smoke some pot or, you know, do any of this stuff, be like, what? What did you say? Do we need to get the principal over here so we can clarify what the question?
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Question is, and honestly, that I think back to of like my high school days, and I remember you wearing that shirt. Yeah. Of course, I was an underclassman, so
yeah,
I wasn't allowed to make it.
Well, I was wondering if then it would have been my sophomore year of high school. So you'd have been.
This is back when we were in the Wartburg.
In the Wartburg, yep, we were in Wartburg, and I think he preached us.
We
did it in Lenore City too. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did it everywhere. I want to make sure everybody knew I was the peer pressure. Now nobody was pressured go to church.
It's that level of it's borderline arrogance, but it's that level of confidence that Dad always had. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was just so funny because that sermon I remember he was talking about how like people are pressuring you to sin. He's like, why don't you pressure them to rise up and to be holy and to be like, because it's harder to be holy than it is to be unholy, and so pressure people into the right thing. But it was
like
a great sermon.
I was like awesome. A middle schooler whenever I first heard that, and I was like, man, what happens when you get in high school? I am terrified right now.
Yeah, it was good.
So that's awesome.
a couple sermon moments.
And we can go on for hours.
I got hundreds of notes in my apps that I read and wrote.
Dad would just, it was great. So another one, just real quick, one childhood memory. Something from your childhood.
I will tell you my childhood memory. I thought about this because you said something when we were talking about, you know, possibly thinking about something from childhood. I will tell you the childhood memory that sticks out to me the most. We were living in Powell, Tennessee.
Okay.
And we used to do Friday night campouts.
I'm
not going to throw you under the bus too hard.
Okay, thank you.
We used to do Friday night campouts. And in the Friday, so Dad would always buy us a flashlight, right? Always. We always had flashlights. And we would do these things. And we were six, seven, it was five, four. I don't even know. We were young. And I remember every Friday night, we looked forward to the Friday night campout. Yeah. And part of that, as I look back, it was a lot of Dad had to work a lot. And Friday nights were his nights where he could really invest in us. And, you know, he would come home late from work. And he worked two or three jobs and had to do all the stuff too. And, you know, fighting to keep a family afloat and working hard. He was always a really hard worker. But I remember Friday nights were special, and they were like, we would get our camping bags, we'd get our sleeping bags, and we would go and camp out in the living room, That's what we would do. And so we would have these flashlight chases on the ceiling with our flashlights. And as a kid, I remember those were the moments that I look back and think about the most.
Oh yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, the, I remember we went to Orlando, Florida one time on a, it was a church, it was a convention or something, but we didn't even care about the whole Disney World thing, the whole Universal Studios. It was, it's almost like, well, this can't beat Friday night campouts.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a thing one time, that a kids ministry did that said they interviewed all these parents and said, who's one person you want to have dinner with? And the parents were like, man, you know, they'd name off some celebrity or some athlete or somebody, you know, some the spiritual ones would be like, I want to have dinner with, you know, Mark or John or Matthew or, you know, one of the gospel writers or whatever. And they asked all the kids the same question. The kids were like, mom and dad,
yep,
my parents. Man. And it just reminded me of the campout nights, right? Camping out with dad, greatest things ever. Yep. And so I'd say my childhood memories, like, and there's hundreds of them, right? I mean, there was my,
man, we could go on forever.
Yeah. We had some bunny rabbits as kids and our dog ate them, but we were told they ran away.
I was too young for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We were told they ran away. And then every time we'd see a bunny in the yard, it was like, oh, he's back. And dad's like, I don't know if that's him or not.
Pretty sure it's not.
Our dog Pete ate yours. So I was like, oh, what? But anyway, I would say those, like, that was the one that's like cherished in my mind.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The Friday night campouts were.
And the funny thing is, like, I don't know how you did anything like with your two girls, but with my three kids, we started something a few years ago, actually before the youngest came around, and we have something called Home Tells. Okay. Because they always want to go somewhere. So we call it Home Tells, and we do the same thing. We just camp out in our living room.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because they're like, and then they talk to their friends, they're like, their friends have never heard of it. And some of them are like, well, that's stupid. We're going to Disney World. And they're like you said, all they want to do is just hang out with mom and dad.
They just want to be with mom and dad.
That's all they want to do. And I was like, man, I remember that. And that's why I want to continue on with those memories. Yeah.
What's yours? Do you got a childhood memory?
We were a little bit older. And
okay.
I don't know why. I haven't golfed in a long time. We talked about that a while back. One of my favorite memories, every year we'd go to Hilton Head. Our grandparents would say, hey, whole family. And that was like,
there's like 14 of us.
There's 14. Like, that can't be cheap. I have no clue how much that cost. But I remember dad had told our grandfather at one point, he goes, don't leave money for your kids. Leave memories. Leave a lasting impression. And my goodness.
Yes.
Have they?
It's been blessing. Yeah.
Like, no, being that close with our grandparents too. And this wasn't even his mom and dad. This is his mother and father-in-law.
Yes.
And when we were going through this, I got one text specifically. We talked about this. Yeah. I got one text. It was from my grandmother.
Yes.
From the mother-in-law.
Yes.
My dad's mother-in-law. And just talking about how much she loved, and she was the only one that would get mad. Like, she'd be so mad at dad because he would handle stuff,
the way he disciplined us. She was like, "Don't do that to those sweet grandbabies. Don't do that. Don't do that."
Our grandmother is like the sweetest woman on the planet,
best woman in the world.
And our dad was like, "Hey, I remember a story about you. Said, so you reached for like a can of Coke when you were a little bitty kid.
Yeah, on a coffee table.
On a coffee table, and dad said, do not touch it.
Yeah.
And Mama reached over, our grandmother reached over to grab the Coke can.
To remove it.
Remove it. Remove the
temptation. The
problem. Yeah. And so dad looked at her and said, no.
And
sit down. And he pushed it to the edge of the coffee table directly in front of you.
To tempt me. Yeah.
And then he just stare at you.
Yeah. And it was the question of like, am I going to listen to him and obey? Or am I going to, and it, you know, biblical principles, it seemed a little extreme at the time, and to her and our grandmother who listens to this podcast is no joke, the greatest woman in the world.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows her would agree.
100%.
People would tell me all the time, it's like, your grandmother is the absolute best. I'm like, yeah, you can't have her. She's mine.
Do you remember the paddle when we were kids, her paddle?
Yes.
It was a pillow.
Yes. Yes.
She was like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. And her mother, we get to know our great-grandmother, too. She was super sweet, too. She was unbelievable.
The only person that would make our grandmother look not nice.
Right, yeah.
Was our great-grandmother.
She was the sweetest of the sweetest of the sweetest. And it was a blessing. But
let's not talk about dad.
So we go. So we, dad's side for sure doesn't watch this.
No.
Okay, so you're... Hilton Head. What was your story?
So Hilton Head. Yeah. We're in Hilton Head, and it was. I'm gonna mention our cousin. I got to mention Brad.
Okay.
So
he didn't watch.
Brad needs to watch this one.
Yeah.
So anytime we go golfing, you and Brad was like always back then, like up and down.
Yeah.
Like he'd be really, really good golfer. And then he'd have a couple of bad holes. At the time, a little bit younger, dad could get in his head. Of course, dad was the king of psyching somebody out.
Yes. Yeah.
So he would always be like, I don't want to break Joseph's brain yet. He's still young and very fragile. So I'm going to go Anthony and Brad versus me and dad. So
yeah,
we would all compete, and like the trash talk that our father would do the whole time.
Next
and
level. Yeah.
My favorite part is that he's like, hey, watch this, guys. And he would literally, and I have one more thing that happened last Wednesday night to share with this. It's like this level that it's crazy. So I remember dad would be like, hey, we got a 40-foot putt to win this hole. And it's like, I mean, Jack Nicholson, like Tiger Woods can't hit this putt. Dad would go,
he'd cover
and drain
eyes.
The putt.
He was a putter.
That he dude was
putt.
A putter.
That dude
but like,
putt.
He would drain it. And we're like, that's unheard of. And he would make, Brad would be like, that doesn't even make sense. I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And I remember you and Brad were like you guys crushed the ball, and I'm up there, you know, still growing. So I'm like, I don't know where my arms are at. I'm like all over the place.
Yeah.
And, but again, if we got anywhere close, dad was lights out on the green.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it just reminded me he was so like arrogant when it came to it, just to get in your head. We did this last Wednesday night with the student ministry.
Oh, when you and I played the game.
We played a game, and I don't know if anybody's ever...
We were showing an example of the game. That's what we were doing. The
and
game
you, hadn't started. You weren't even listening to me. You were talking to the sound guy. So I was like, all right, students, getting them all hyped up. I'm like, this is the game we're going to play tonight. It's take a solo cup. You flip it over your head. You throw it behind your head, and the person behind you standing about 5-6 feet away...
Have a cup.
They have a cup in their hand, and they have to catch it.
In the cup, yes.
Just land it
so they catch the cup in the cup.
I said,
that easy.
And they were like, we don't get it. You know how teenagers are.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, it's simple. I said, Anthony. So he finally turns around, and I said, here. And I handed him a cup. He's like, what's this for? I went, catch this cup. I turn around, walk about 6-7 feet away, throw it up in the air. He just goes, and it lands directly in the cup. The first try. And we were like, simple.
That easy. I almost thought this game is too easy for them to play.
And it lasted 30 minutes.
They couldn't do it. We had like 7 or 8 trying at the same time.
Nobody could do it. And I was like, man, this is that level. But yeah. It just reminded that even
and then
reminded
we were,
me.
They were in the microphones. We were like, what's the problem, you guys? Did Joseph and I need to do it again for you?
Why are y'all, we should have. Why are y'all so bad at this?
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that just really sticks out to me is, I don't know, just seeing that, like remembering that, those moments, walking the course, riding with dad in the golf cart and listening to him just laugh. His commentary of everything.
Yeah.
And like also as you probably knew it. I don't know if you and Brad even knew. He was telling me what he was going to say to you guys to try to psych you out. He's like, hey, which one you want me to do? You want me to go this route? You want me to go that route? And yeah. I mean, he would just constantly, and if you ever missed a putt short.
Oh my gosh. It was awful.
The rest of the week, if we're on family vacation.
Yeah. I will say this, one of my best memories of dad in golf. So I played golf in high school on the teams, and he was my coach. You know, he was an assistant coach for the team stuff. And he would always, I have two memories of this. One, anytime he and I would just go play golf together, we would ride in his little pickup truck. And, you know, I was a kid. I was 8, 9 years old. And we'd go. And on the way to the golf course, he would stop at a gas station, and he would pick up the like donuts that come in the sleeve, and he would pick one up for him, one up for me, and you know I get the chocolate ones, he'd get whichever chocolate ones I think too, and I remember, you know, I'd open the package and I'd grab one, I'd eat one at a time, and I look over at him and he's got it opened up and he's just popping them without touching the donut one after the just popping
and the sleeve was clean,
and he would just pop them in, and I remember as a kid thinking one day
I'm gonna be able to do that,
and so now
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This
That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Every now and then, here's something I never tell my wife. She would be mad at me if she knew this.
She doesn't watch. We're good.
One thing, I will go to the gas station every now and then, and I will see that pack of donuts, yep, and I'll buy it and go and do that and just be like,
I do the exact
I told
same
you
thing.
I'd be like you, Dad. Like, I told you.
You're talking about the Ford Ranger he had, right?
Yes, yeah,
with
yeah.
With the bucket seats, like, yes, we were sitting back there.
Yeah.
I remember, because a lot of times I'd sit on this side right behind where, like, Mom was,
yeah,
and I would just be sitting there watching Dad in amazement. Going to church, he would, yes, stop at the Get and Go.
You think Get and Go? Yep.
Going in Clinton, Tennessee, going, yep, down, and he get it, and I'm like, he's gonna get that all over his suit, or he's gonna, you know,
yeah, never,
and it
touched
was like
it,
perfectly never clean, it. And then he's like, all right, he looked back at me and just like smile. I'm like, that was amazing.
I got powdered sugar all over me, and it's like, I've got chocolate donuts. How'd this happen? I don't understand.
So much. I remember
the worst golf match I played in. It was a district tournament, and I eight putted a green. And he was on he was one of the scorekeepers.
Ooh, that's not good.
On my group. And I lost count of how many times I had putted, right? And I'll think back over it, and I eight putted it. I was on in two, an eight putt for a 10. And it was like, it was a
that's
par four. And I remember greens were slick, and it lipped out and it'd go down. I'd hit back at the same spot, lip out again, and did this like three or four times.
Yep.
Terrible. And I remember walking to the next hole. The scorekeepers were allowed to talk to us, but they weren't allowed to coach us any. And so he leaned down, he said, was that a 10? And I said, yes. He said, so I've got eight putts down? And I said, yeah. And then he does this. He wasn't allowed to coach me any. He did this. He said, use that on this hole. And he just walked away. I birdied the next two back to back. And he was like, I was like, that was the most embarrassing thing of my life. But he did, like, in that moment, he wasn't like, oh, son. He's like, use it.
Yeah, and we've talked about too, like, when I remember you played basketball when I was a kid, you missed two foul shots in a row. And I remember almost laughing at you as a little brother, you know, like, ha,
yeah, yeah,
idiot, you missed the shot. Yeah. And Dad said, all right, here, you gotta shoot 100 free throws.
I was my hands were bleeding.
And I was like, ha, you gotta go out there and do it. He goes, Joseph, you're rebounding. I'm like, I didn't miss him. He's like, and you're not gonna.
Yeah.
I was like, hey,
yeah,
that's not fair,
man. What else you got? You got any other questions?
Tons of childhood memories, but
yeah, there's a lot.
One phrase Ooh. From Dad, and I'm gonna start with this one.
Okay, go ahead.
One phrase from Dad, and it's something that after he passed, about a month after he passed, my wife and I celebrated our wedding anniversary.
Yeah,
and I got her like a little fake ring, so that, you know, because I was like, my head still wasn't there. I was like, here, but she wanted it. And
yeah,
she said, here you go. I don't know if you want this or not. And it is the greatest gift I've ever received that I will not touch. I won't even look at it. I try to keep it hidden. That's yeah. how messed up this is.
Yeah.
And Dad always wrote, he got us books every year for Christmas, Wordsmith, yeah. like, you know,
yeah.
he got us books for Christmas. And our favorite thing, he wrote personal notes in
Inside
every single
book. Yeah, in the front page, cover page, whatever.
Oh, yeah, and it's funny. We'll talk about one day, too. The last one that we ever got, I don't know what yours said, but yeah. it was almost as if he knew it was coming.
Yeah, the Lord planned it and set it up for
Freaky.
Us. Yeah.
He said, I've always prayed about the man you would become, and I've never told you about how proud I am of the man that you are. And I'm like,
yeah,
what's it? And now looking back, I remember reading it like 2 weeks after, like an idiot. Right. I'm like, but Tara got a little keychain made for me. My mm-hmm. wife got a little keychain.
I remember seeing
made.
This thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so horrible.
Yeah.
And it was one thing that she had gotten some books that Dad had written over the years and extracted some words and went and got it professionally written on this keychain with his handwriting, because his handwriting is very unique.
Yeah.
Although I've also heard both of us have his handwriting, which. It's not a brag,
yeah,
at all.
It's terrible.
It's not good.
Should have been doctors.
I know. Just apparently, you have to be smart,
or go to college.
Yeah, you have to go to college.
That's the problem.
You have to go to college.
That's the problem.
So, and all it says on there is, "Don't limit God."
Mm.
And when you said that earlier, I was like, "Man, that's the one thing." Because Dad was always, he's very realist, like very or just a realist. Like, hey, this is how it needs to be. But son, no matter what you do, do not limit God. And because I know we always go back to some of the sermons too, and some of the things we've taught on is don't quench the spirit.
Right.
And that's his way of his version of saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
He's like, if you say this can't happen, you just limited what God can do in your life.
Yeah.
Don't limit God.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I have, and I do regularly.
Sure.
But whenever I play that back in my head, I'm like, man, what can happen if the church would stop limiting God?
Dangerous. We'd be dangerous. I'll say if I had to pick like something Dad says. So I thought about this whenever you told me this the other day.
Don't be an idiot.
Don't be an idiot. Yeah. Best advice he's ever given me. I was thinking, you know, there's so many quotes he had as a pastor. Right. You know, there's so many quotes he had as a leader. There's so many quotes but I started thinking, what's something I would quote Dad in right now as a dad, like that he did as a father? And I thought about this one, and it's this is going to sound maybe a little bit dumb, but I'm proud of you.
Oof.
Dad said that a lot, and it was never hey, proud of you, son. Have a good day. It was very intentional and very motivated and for all the things, you know, we talked about, he did a sermon thing one night on a Sunday night and talking about how he screwed up as a parent four or five different places and, you know, have some argument with the kid or something, had to apologize. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
I think the reason I don't remember that, I think the Lord obviously cares for us and gives us a good memory in good places. And I think the reason, though, that all those moments where he says he messed up drown out is because the proud of you was so loud. Because you can say things to your kids and your kids know if you're being it or not.
Yeah.
And I know there's times it's caused me as a dad to sit down with my girls individually. We're in the car talking about something and be able to say, hey, I just want you to know, I know I don't say this enough, but I am very proud of the young woman you're becoming and the person that you are and the way that you did this decision, and not just a, hey, want you to know, proud of you, girl. You know, like there's that, but there's also the
intention. I said that to your daughter the other day. I was like, proud of you, girl.
Yeah, that's atta girl.
She went, don't talk to me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not the like attaboy kind of situation. It's a, like that to me, I still hear that. And the very last text I had from Dad.
Are we going to go down that road too?
Was he told me he was proud of me.
Okay.
So that's what he told of you.
Let's FYI. The last text, Dad was already sick. He was.
Yes. He was sick when he texted me.
And I swear to you, he knew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have no doubt.
You can go through all the different things that were going on in his body at the time and all these things.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where I think that we all, as a church even, and people across the country, across the world, were praying for our father. I've always said this. I've said this for 4 years now. I think everybody was praying for physical healing here on this earth.
Yeah.
And I think God heard those prayers. And I think I think our dad was in communion with God the whole time.
Yeah.
I think he was praying with God. And I feel that as if God asked our dad, he goes, what do you want?
Yeah.
And if you know our dad, the answer was without a question.
To live is Christ, but to die is the game.
Let's roll.
That's the game.
Because when we talked about those last moments and we're like, hey, Dad, you know, we're never going to stop sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, he can't do anything right now.
His body can't physically move.
He raised his hand up and was doing this.
Yeah, fist pumping.
Like, fist pump? The last little bit of energy you have, you're fist pumping because we're going to share the gospel still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy awesome. Man. Yeah. Awesome man. But the last text, we were just talking about the last text. So the last text Anthony received, just, you know, he preached and he's like, I'm proud of you, preacher boy. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. Last text I received was, go get me banana popsicles. Yeah. we almost had an argument because he said, he was like, son, I really just.
Now, to phrase it, to help everybody understand, you lived close by. Yeah. I did not.
Right.
He was in the house and he wanted you to drop off banana popsicles at the door so he could go get him.
But the thing is, he obviously was very sick and he was like, hey, come by. I've wiped my debit card down. I laid it in the car seat. I want you to, in the truck, I want you to grab my debit card and go. I was like, Dad, I can go buy $2 worth of banana popsicles. And I just remember, like, after I was like, man, he. Go get banana popsicles. I can't look at banana popsicles the same anymore.
Every time you go to the grocery store, you're like, I'm not going to the freezer section. No, I'm not doing it. Like,
but yeah, that was my one phrase from Dad that, I mean, again, go get banana popsicles. If we sat down and talked, we could do 2 days worth of stuff that Dad did in our lives. I mean, honestly, that helped develop who we are.
Yeah.
But my phrase, obviously, mine is don't limit God. And it is just...
Yeah.
Whenever I catch myself just kind of floating in my spiritual walk, I think of that and I'm like, in my apathy right now, I'm limiting God.
Right.
If I don't have that fiery passion, then, you know, you were preaching on Revelation. I'm like, I don't want to be a part of one of these churches. So last one. Life verse. So
okay,
let's share. I'm going to read it in, because Dad preached out of the New King James.
He did. This so I'm going to read it. Dad's life verse. He would sign his name and then this verse underneath.
And on that little keychain I have, it's written on there. It's crazy because it says, don't limit God. And it's like underlined. He specified that. Yeah. And then he wrote.
And that was something that he wrote down in a book to you.
He wrote it down in a book and Tara had it extracted.
She had it extracted and matched the handwriting and all that.
Yes. Yeah. And then it also says, I love you, son. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And Dad wasn't, you know, touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Never really said that. You knew when he said it, he meant it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's another thing. I was like, whew, okay. Blowing the throat. But then it was, you know, he would sign Dad. And I realized, I don't know if you do this, if you write the word Dad, like, to your girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it not look just like Dad's handwriting?
It looks exactly like it.
I'll write it and start crying.
Yeah.
Every time. I'm like, love Dad. Yeah. No.
Which is, honestly, when I write it, like, because the way I write it is, you know, the capital D at the front, and then like the little, and the way the little D at the end has the little curl.
Yep.
Everything's exactly like it. And it's, in my mind, when I see it, I think this is a legacy move. Right? Like that's lingering. And I hope that, you know, anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, so his life verse, here it is.
Life verse. And he always wrote this in the corner. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men.
Colossians 3:23.
All the time. That's not my life verse,
right?
But that's a verse that has always stuck out to me, and I try to.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Model that in my life, because I saw Dad, I saw how our father modeled that.
Yeah.
When he took that, he's like, this is what God's given. And man, talking about everything he did, he did as if he, because I remember I was like, Dad, at one time I was working at a warehouse and basically what we were doing was moving boxes of diapers or makeup. Those are the two things we were moving. I was moving it back and forth and I was like, Dad, what is even the point? He said, what would you do if Jesus Christ walked in there and said, man, that's a good job? And I was like, what? Well, that's not, he goes, son, you carry him with you. How many times did he tell us, like, you wear the name Caldwell, you wear it with honor.
Yeah.
You wear it as a badge of honor. And I'm like, people don't look at Caldwells with honor. But he said, beyond that, you know, you're a Christian, you're a believer, you wear the name of Jesus. And I'm like, okay. So I remember doing that. And because of that, I started moving up. Like, anytime I get into a company, I don't think I'm that good of a worker, but they're like, man, you have a drive that we don't see. And I'm like, this is all I've ever known.
Because I was told Jesus may show up any day.
Jesus is watching me.
Watch my work. Yeah. Life verses. For those of you who do not maybe understand what a life verse is, it doesn't mean one verse in the Bible is better than others.
Right.
It does not mean that a verse in the Bible is more applicable than others.
Right.
There's a moment in your life that the Lord really impresses something on your heart. Maybe you've been going through it, maybe you're dealing with something, and the Lord will show something to you through a verse. And that verse seems to resonate in your life more than others. Dad used to tell us, you know, when I was a teenager, he was talking about his life verse. And he's like, do you have a life verse? And I was like, how do you find one? Where do you go to get one?
That's a great question.
Yeah. And I remember him talking to me one night, and he said, it'll show up. He's like, as long as you stay in the Word, read the Word, don't ever stop reading the Word. You know, whenever you're listening to music, whenever you're putting it, like, put scripture all around all of it. Situations, look at it through the lens of scripture. And when I started doing that, I was about 14, 15 when he started talking about it to me. And I was 16 years old, and I see a verse, and it rocked me. And I thought, and I went to Dad, and I said, Dad, how does this sound for a life verse? And I read Micah 6:8, and it says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. And he said, well, what does it mean? And because I remember I was like, is this a good life verse? And in his mind, he was thinking, well, they're all good life verses. I mean, you could take any verse you know, yeah. as crazy as they may be.
And Job's wounds open and pus came out.
Yeah, it's like,
it's a go-getter.
It's a good one. Let's do it. Okay. So no matter how bad it gets, it can't get this bad. So I remember talking to him. He said, well, what is it that stands out to you? And I was like, well, Dad, it seems like it has everything that I need in my life.
Ooh, yeah.
Do what's right. Do justly. I was like, do what's right. I should be doing what's right, no matter if it's easy or hard. Love mercy. I need to love the mercy God's given me by not giving me this. And walk humbly. I said, my biggest struggle is arrogance and pride. And I said, I know I lean that way.
I agree with that.
I said, I know I lean that way. I said, so like walking humbly is a difficult thing. And he said, I think you may have found your life verse. And then I run everything through it. And there's other verses I like. There's verses at different times of my life have stuck out to me.
Yes.
You know, that I will still outquote them and say them and try to live by those too. But that one's the one that for me, and it was because I saw Dad. And Dad, if you had to say anything about Dad, he worked hard. And he did it to glorify the Lord.
And I mean, people are like, you know, on mission trips or something, they say, oh, look, preacher man's over there doing this, doing that. Like, I never saw anybody outwork our dad.
No.
Because here's the thing, he was never off.
Never.
If you were like, oh, he's not moving a hammer, I'm like, he would much rather swing a hammer than have to go into the trenches with this person.
Right, in their deepest need.
Like, in his carnal flesh, he would rather do this.
Yeah.
And honestly, we talked about that before. I mean, Dad was 59 when he passed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think he lived 100 years worth of life.
Sure.
In a 59-year time frame. Yeah,
because he worked as hard as he did.
Because he crushed it nonstop, never rested.
Yeah.
He would rest. He would take times of rest, but he was so intentional, everything he did.
Yeah.
I was later on in life when I found my life verse. Like I was so stuck on different verses.
Well, your faith walk started later. Like I got saved when I was 8. You were like
I was 14. 14.
Yeah, I was 40.
14.
Oh, I thought it was 40.
No, I'm not 40 yet. I'm coming up on it.
I was about to tell you. Let me introduce you to a man named Jesus.
Okay, I know him. You need. I know him really well though.
But yeah, so you came out a little bit later. It's crazy. We grew up in the same house.
Same house.
But the Lord
and I was the better kid.
Because you saw how dumb I was. You're like, oh, that's not good.
I did. I literally remember, like, I remember seeing you get in trouble, and I'm like, don't do that. Makes Dad real mad. Yeah.
Do you mean bring out the campout story?
No.
Go ahead. No. Anyway, go ahead. So your live verse,
haven't
you found it later.
Said anything since. I don't play Monopoly. Let's just leave it at that.
We're banned from playing Monopoly.
My kids
Dad said
like,
we were not allowed to play it. Ever.
My kids tell me now, they're like, hey, Dad, can we play Monopoly? I'm like, get the devil out of our house. Satan, you don't belong here. And they're like, what?
Man, it was a bad scene.
So you're the paid version.
Yeah, yeah.
So later on in life, you know, I remember that the whole salvation story. I can talk about that later too. But
yeah.
You know, starting to really, I'd read the Bible so many times before that.
Yeah.
But it just never, I never had that moment. So anyways, I was 14 and then I really started diving in. And it's funny too, because it wasn't until I was leading a student ministry at another church that this kind of hit me. And it was because of one saying that I pulled from this passage. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I didn't even realize even then I would write down the verse. And so I remember just that would be my tag. Dad would always put, you know, love Dad or whatever, or Mark, Preacher Mark, and he'd write COL 323.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's okay. So I would always do this one, Matthew 5:16, every single time.
Okay.
Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that whole scene is, you know, God's given you this light. God's given you this ability in your life. Don't hide it. Like, whatever he has, like, you need to shine for me. And I remember I made shirts for the student ministry, and it was all based on Matthew 5:16. And all it said on the shirt was, watch me shine. Because I was like, no matter what you do, the world needs to look at me and be like, what is he up to? Like, what is going on? And it's funny because we went through that Bible or that book that we talked about before in one of the previous episodes. We had gone through a book and learning about like kind of how God wired me and how God put this in. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then you start putting these together and you're like, oh wow, that's amazing. Like God's put in me this desire to make people smile, make people laugh.
Right.
And honestly, people look at they'll look at Christians and they're like, man, they're just like Debbie Downers.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't do this. You can't do that. It's like, look what you can do.
Right.
One of the last questions I was going to ask you, but we can do this another time or whatever, but I'll share. I mean, if you want to, because I'll
it's
share
an extended
mine.
Cut. It's extended cut. We're good. We're
I'll
good.
Share. I'll share what I had.
Okay.
Is if you could ask Dad anything right now, what would it be? And
oh gosh,
for me, I was thinking so many things. Like, man, there's a lot of personal things going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, Dad was always the phone call.
Yeah.
No matter what, Dad's phone call.
Yeah.
So I would call him like, Dad, I don't know what to do, and he's like, well, and he'd never tell you a direct answer.
Right.
Ever.
Right. And because he wanted you to discover it.
Yes.
Right. That was the hard part, is that he, and what I've learned in
life
is.
He knew the right answer.
Yeah. There was a joke that we had with one of our cousins, Michael, who actually, he told me the other day he listens to this. I was surprised.
Michael's too smart to listen to this.
He's way too smart to listen to this mess. But he said, you know, your dad would do these things where he would be like, okay, I'm going to write down what you're going to do, and I'm going to write down what happens, and I'm going to put it in an envelope, and you can open it in 5 years.
Yes.
And he said, you know, that you'd open it 5 years later and be like, he's exactly right. Like, he had the wisdom and discernment. Like, that's what he had.
Yes.
And So
prophecy and some other things.
He was the phone call. He was the phone call. So he
was always the phone call. And I was like, man, there's so many things going on in my life. Like, how do I train Judah to be he's the next generation. He's the only Caldwell male.
Yeah.
Like, my son is the only, we got a bunch of girls. There's girls everywhere. Yeah. So I was like, Judah, like, what do I tell my son as the... Yeah. This heir to the Caldwell name. And I was like, then, you know, how do I do this with my middle child? What how do I handle my youngest?
Yeah.
She loves watching this. She'll watch this too. She's the one, she's five, and she'll ask me questions. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I've never
even
thought of that. So I was like, no, what, you know, how do I become a better husband? Like, what do I need to do? And then it hit me the other day as I asked you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. In the grand scheme of eternity, if I had the opportunity to talk to my dad and ask him one question right now, the only thing coming out of my mouth is, Dad, what's it like? Where you're at right now, what's it like? What is it truly like? Because he had a whole series that he preached on heaven.
Yeah.
And like to know, like, I would rather know more about where I'm going than any current like circumstance that's fading.
Yeah.
And so that's a hard pill to swallow to think that kind of question. But I was like, that is genuinely what I would ask him.
So it's funny when you said that question, there's times where I'll experience something and I'll pull my phone up and think, like, still to this day, think, I'm gonna call Dad.
I have his number, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will answer and screw
That's why I'm not calling him. It took me over a year to take him off my favorites list on my phone, you know? And, and there's still moments even to this day. So, on the day that he passed, we just commemorated that day. We just had our, experience that day this past week. And on that day, so we were going to record that day, and I told you, maybe not the headspace. Somebody asked me to go play golf in the afternoon after work and everything. And I said, okay. And it's the golf course that Dad always talked about, but he never got a chance to play. And I thought, isn't this interesting that I get this opportunity to play this really great golf course with this friend of mine now that's a great guy. And he didn't know. He never knew Dad. He didn't know Dad. He didn't know the day Dad passed, none of that. So we're about four holes in, and he said something to me about, he said, so how's your day been? I said, it's okay. He said, you seem like something bothering you. You know, is everything okay? I was like, well, this is the day that was, you know, is the day that he passed. And he was like, why are you here? He's like, go do something. You know, what's going on?
Where else am I going to be?
Yeah. I was like, doesn't really matter where I am.
I'll be sitting in my bathtub eating Oreos crying.
And so I told him, I said, well, honestly, I said, this is going to sound crazy, but this was the golf course that my dad talked about playing and he never got a chance to. And I said, today is kind of the, and then he's like, well, we're going to honor him today. He's like, and I played great, and it was awesome. And
shot a 124.
Yeah. Sweet. We only played 14 holes, but as the day went on, he asked a couple questions about Dad, you know, and he has a very different relationship with his dad than I do than I did with ours. And I remember thinking, you know, if I could, when you text me, he's like, you know, this may be a question we ask or something. And honestly, he was always the call, you know. And after I got done playing, we talked about Dad so much, and we walk away, and I think, I wish I could just like text him, hey, Dad, got to play today. This is where I played, you know. But in my mind, I'm thinking, if I could ask him one thing right now, that's exactly the thing that came to my mind when you said that just a minute ago. Like, the stuff on this earth is, everything is meaningless, no matter what we do. And I was talking to this guy about this yesterday, And no matter how...
Or out of Ecclesiastes.
No matter how well off you are, listen, it all dies, right? It all fades away, every bit of it. You know, your memories stick around. But even that, I don't know my great-great-great-grandfather.
Nope.
Don't know anything about his life. No. I'd have to go do research to figure out about him. We're going to be forgotten about. If Jesus keeps tarrying and doesn't come back soon, we're going to be forgotten.
Right.
What actually lasts? And it's, you know, the legacy of people that you lead to the Lord and the eternal things. But if I had asked Dad something right now, you know, and not just preached on the throne room of God in Revelation, like there's a lot, it's a lot, you know. I think I'd ask him that same thing, like, what's it like?
What's
and
it really
honestly,
like?
I think if he had his cell phone with him and he saw I called, I don't think he would answer because I don't think he'd take his eyes off where he's at.
I don't think he would either. And I think if we asked him something else, and somebody would be like, would you ever, I'm like, I don't even wish, this sounds messed up.
Right.
Like, I don't even wish for Dad to be back because I wouldn't want to take that from him.
It'd be, yeah.
He would be mad.
if we were like, if we had one wish from the Lord and it's like, Dad walks through the door and he's like, what is your problem?
He would physically attack us.
I don't care what you're doing right now. Get me back. I want to go back to see
both idiots.
Yeah, I told this guy on this golf course.
He would be Frank Costanza.
He would be, yeah. I told this guy on this golf course, I said, you know, I still hear Dad's voice when I'm playing and different things he would say. And I connected a lot with Dad on a golf course. And he trained me, taught me how to play and all the things, same as you. And whenever I'm out there, I can still hear him a little bit. And I got looked around and the sun was setting. It was beautiful pink sky. It was gorgeous. And the guy says to me, he says, look at that, man. He said, is there any better place to be? And like thinking of Dad right now and thinking like, there's one better place to be.
there's a better one place that is.
And it's not even, you know, and I'm not like racing to get there, but I am, you know, I think he lives so hard and so full. And
I mean, we're racing.
Yeah. We're in a race.
We are.
And the goal is Jesus, right? The goal is to be back. And so, yeah, I think if I'd ask him anything, I'd be like, tell me about it
right now.
Like, I know John did a good job in Revelation, but tell me in your words, like, what are you seeing?
John was still a little sticker shocked, like, what was going on?
When
he saw his BFF and blacked out, it's kind of nerve-wracking.
But to know that, like, he's got glorified eyes and glorified things, it's just, I don't know. I would probably ask him the same thing. Like, what's it like?
I know. The more I thought about it, I was like, man, like, you try to stop where you're at and take a step back thinking, all right, Dad always tried to take, he always taught us, like, look through the lens of Scripture with every circumstance. Yeah. Whether you're brushing your teeth, no matter what you're doing, look at everything that happens through the lens of Scripture. And, you know, we always heard people can be so heavenly minded, there's no earthly good.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I don't believe that.
No.
Because I saw my dad be so heavenly minded.
Yeah.
And then after he passed, like, and again, I'm not the preacher. I'm not the one that's out preaching every Sunday at churches or doing any of that stuff. But I'm also the second born. Like, I'm not the one, I wasn't named after Dad specifically.
Right.
But people who I did not know, like, again, if you're going to look up Mark Caldwell, your name is Mark Caldwell.
Right, yes.
You'd probably be the first one.
Yeah.
People who I had no idea who they were, they would send me messages and they're like, you have no idea how God transformed my life because your dad's faithfulness.
A marriage was rescued or a family was put back in store or somebody was led to the Lord. He led so many people to the Lord, so many people.
Yeah.
And he told me one time, I remember he said, you know, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist. He said he didn't say that to just the evangelists.
He said it to everybody.
Go do the work of evangelists. He said, I said, well, Dad, that's not my gifting. He said, that's not what it says. He's like, do the work of an evangelist. Even if your gifting is not evangelism, go do it. And he's like, and once you know the Lord, you want to do it.
Yeah, and when the closer you get to the Lord, and that's why I think that Dad always had that. And our mom, we've talked about our mom told she we were talking about it the other day, and she said, you know, I think that he just caught a glimpse in those last moments. I think he caught a glimpse of the other side. And again, there's no, you know, we don't know. We have no idea.
Right.
She said, but a part of me thinks that God may have just opened his eyes for a moment and saw it, because I'm telling you right now, you weren't there yet. The last moments.
Yeah.
I remember getting on the monitor and I said, because we couldn't even get in the room.
Right. Yeah. All the COVID restrictions and everything.
Oh, yeah. I remember getting on there and I said, Dad, can you wait just another minute? Anthony's not here yet. and the look of frustration on his face.
Yeah.
Mom said, I think he sees the other side. And he's like, I have to wait on my, like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's the Knoxville traffic, Dad. I promise it's not me.
And honestly, I was about to go there and be like, Dad, he's acting like you. Like right now. Yeah. He's just, yeah. He's like, I'll be
there in five.
Yeah. I'm walking up I'm going up the elevator right now. It's like, you're in front of a traffic light. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dad always did that kind of stuff.
But, oh man. Yeah,
there's so many more things. And if, like, I would love to share more and more. This is a much more serious tone, which
right.
I feel weird doing.
Yeah.
But again, another question is like, man, I wonder if there is, you know, there had to be somebody that mentioned Rahab in heaven right now that mentioned why they should save her and what her occupation was. There may be a Brooklyn Angel up there right now.
Your boys are talking about you. Yeah. highly doubtable, but yeah. Oh man, this episode's been a little bit different. I think it's been long, it's extended. If you made it to the end, congratulations. If you didn't, I don't care.
I don't either.
This was therapy for us.
Go you know, find a life verse.
Go find That's a life verse. Go find a life verse. Look at everything through scripture. And I think the reason that I wouldn't ask Dad any question about what I'm going through right now is because I think he would say, I've already told you the scripture's got the answers.
Yeah.
You know, his last 10 days alive in the hospital, we read scripture to the That's little baby did. Monitor to him. And as we read the scriptures, you know, we even said, like, at the end of that, you know, we take shifts. And I remember thinking, like, if Dad has taught us anything, it's read the scriptures. And he's like, okay, I'm going to give you one last shot. I'm not going to talk to you. I just want you to read the scripture. Yeah. Just read the scripture. Read the Crazy. Bible. Nobody loved the Bible more than Dad did. And I'm learning to love it more. And I think that I still got a long way to go to get where he was. But read the Bible. Take your time. Find your life verse, live it.
And the last thing I want to share real quick is you kind of mentioned this Sunday, is how I feel like every time that you're alive, you get like a big, almost like a launch pad.
Yeah.
And it's for your descendants. And I think a lot of times they're like, hey, here's my launch pad. They'll lay it down. They get it all clean. You know, they want to make it look as good as possible for their descendants and things like that. And I feel like Dad got one of those. And the thing that he did that I encourage every man, every father,
yeah.
whoever listens to this to do, is do what our dad did and raise it up as high as you can.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to make it the whole time.
he said the last summer he was alive, there was a lot of stuff that my kids got to do with him and your kids got to do with him. He made a real intentional summer. And I remember, in fact, it was probably the last month, he made a statement to me that said, I hope my ceiling becomes your floor.
I hate you.
And I thought, good grief. Like, how kind of, and you know, he made the statement years ago that your father is the only person that really, truly wants you to be better. He wants you to be better than him.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the world wants you to be better than them.
No.
But a father does.
And I see that now with my kids. I want my kids to be better.
Yeah.
And seeing that about I just envision, like, when Dad said that about, I want my ceiling to be your floor, like I always envisioned that as a launch pad, because that's where you start from.
Sure.
And I don't know of many people on this planet that have a higher starting point than we've gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Because of his faithfulness.
He used to say, you know, the scripture, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And he's like, you all have been given much.
So
the requirement's higher, right?
And that's what I hear a lot of times as a small group leader and just, you know, a Christian, people asking questions.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you were raised in church. You don't understand this. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, and I never say that to them because hurt their feelings, but I'm like, you don't understand the weight of life. Of like, I am not even 40 and I have nothing but gray hair on my head now.
Right. I told my first counselor I had whenever I moved out, this counselor said, you know, your life seems to be pretty perfect. You got the perfect parents, perfect life, perfect blah, 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 blah. And I said, you have no idea the weight I'm carrying around that is a responsibility now that I have.
Yep.
Because I've had more of the Bible in it than the kids that I see across the seas that never heard the name of Jesus. Like,
yep.
So how much more responsibility do I have on me? And he was like, wow. He said, that's heavy. Let's unpack that. And I thought, yeah. And so
people don't see that. They don't see, like, yeah, we have this level of joy and we cut up and we talk about these things.
Yeah.
But it comes from something so deep that Dad instilled in us so long ago that the thing is we got to the point in our lives where we're not serving our Father's God. We're serving our God.
Right. Yes. We. Yeah. It became ours.
And that's something that hits hard. And because Dad started a legacy. And I remember I got to go preach actually at the church that we grew up at, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the whole sermon was living a legacy, not leaving a legacy.
Right.
You can't leave a legacy unless you're living it.
Yeah.
And
you get the choice to live it every day.
Again, tell me a person who did it better.
So as we wrap up this episode today, we're going to wrap it up a little differently. I'm just going to say.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm going to say it. Whoo.
Come on.
Thanks, Dad.